From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, presenting a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, By Faith, Not Feeling. The text is Romans 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. I shall not die. I do believe in the Lord my God, and this faith will keep me alive. I would be numbered among those who in their lives are just. But even if I were perfect, I would not try to live by my righteousness. I would cling to the work of the Lord Jesus and still live by faith in Him and by nothing else. If I were able to give my body to be burned for my Lord Jesus, yet I would not trust in my own courage and constancy, but still would live by faith. Were I a martyr at the stake, I'd plead my Savior's name, entreat a pardon for His sake, and urge no other claim. To live by faith is a far surer and happier thing than to live by feelings or by works. The branch, by living in the vine, lives a better life than it would live by itself, even if it were possible for it to live at all apart from the stem. To live by clinging to Jesus, by deriving all from Him, is a sweet and sacred thing. If even the most just must live in this fashion, how much more must I, who am a poor sinner? Lord, I believe. I must trust Thee wholly. What else can I do? Trusting Thee is my life. I feel it to be so. I will abide by this, even to the end.
Searching His word for His best.
Will the Lord find us there?
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message called Resisting the Holy Spirit. Dr. Cairns is taking as his text a passage from Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, where in verse 51 he said to the Jewish leaders, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As we'll see in the course of this message, this is a sin which can be committed by both the unsaved as well as by Christians. The unsaved resist the Holy Ghost in a number of ways, such as by their proud religion of externals, as well as by their rejection of Christ as personal Savior. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Resisting the Holy Spirit.
And the circumstances of this text are certainly instructive. Stephen here is speaking to the Jewish Sanhedrin. This is his great sermon. Just before he dies, he's preaching. What a way to die, preaching Christ, standing up for the Lord Jesus. And as he preaches, he details the dealings that the Lord had taken with the children of Israel throughout their history. The constant grace of God in their lives. And as he details God's gracious dealings with them, he also details for them their continual lapses into idolatry and into sin. So that Stephen's sermon is a monument to the grace of God and a constant reminder of the fallibility of man. Now, it is very, very interesting to note where Stephen's sermon really ended. He got as far as Solomon's temple. Solomon built this great temple, a splendid building, perhaps the most glorious building. Indeed, in some ways, undoubtedly the most glorious building ever built on mortal earth. And here, as Stephen talks about this great building with all its beauty, he says, "Howbeit, verse 48, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands." It's not to say the presence of God never came into the temple. That's not what Stephen is saying. That would be untrue. For the priests were overcome by the glory of God's presence in that temple. But he's saying this, that God is never going to be satisfied with a mere building of bricks and mortar. However elaborately it is appointed, that building can never hold the presence of God, and that building can never guarantee that God's presence will be with the people. And yet the Jews of Stephen's day were very proud of their temple. Now, it was a lot less glorious than Solomon's temple, but they were so proud of it. They had all the external forms of worship. Oh, you could go up there and you could smell the reek of shed blood and burning flesh and burning incense. You could see the priests in their flowing robes here and there and everywhere. And on the Day of Atonement, you could be in the midst of all that awful pomp and solemn ceremony as the high priest went into the holy place, or the holiest of holies in the temple. They had all the external forms of worship, but they had nothing of the real fear of God. They had nothing of the real presence of God, and they had nothing of the real power of God. They had a temple, but they had no vital godliness, and therefore, in the words of our text, Stephen says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." He says, "Your fathers kept up appearances, but they slew the prophets whom God sent to prophecy of the coming Messiah." You are proud of your temple, says Stephen, and you have done worse than your fathers. They slew the prophets of Christ. You have become the betrayers and the very murderers of Christ Himself. You have the law, but you haven't kept it. You've broken it to murder Christ. So he's saying your own law condemns you. And according to the law that you so venerate, you stand under the wrath and curse of God, and yet you continue to reject the only one who can save you from its condemnation. This gives us a very simple and good insight into the meaning of Stephen's words when he says, "You do always resist the Holy Ghost." It's a very timely truth for the Jews, though they didn't want to hear it. And it still is today for us. We're going to consider what's a very simple, but a very solemn topic in the Word of God, resisting the Holy Ghost. It's a sin that sinners commit. Unsaved people are peculiarly prone to this sin, resisting the Holy Ghost. Sadly, there are some ways and certain times and senses in which Christians can resist the Holy Ghost. We want to look at how both do this. First of all, sinners resist the Holy Ghost in various ways. Look at the background in the text here. And I'm only really going to have time to quickly run through them. Number one, sinners resist the Holy Ghost by their proud religion of externals. He says, "You are stiff-necked." That's pride. That's determination in a bad cause. And he says, you are uncircumcised in heart. That's a very telling description. In other words, Stephen is saying there has never been a cutting work done in your heart. Oh, later we read that they were cut to their hearts. But it was certainly a cutting work then that they resisted. The uncircumcised heart is a heart from which the flesh, and I'm speaking in spiritual terms now, that the flesh has never been cut away. It is a heart in which there has never been a recognition of sin. There has never been a deep work of conviction. To change the metaphor, there has never been a deep plowing, a breaking up of the soul, whereby the sinner, seeing his guilt before God, is brought to a standstill in his religion of self-righteousness. Seeing the holiness of God, he's brought to a standstill on his mad career to hell, and he cries out for mercy to be saved from the wrath of God. That's the circumcised heart that does that. He says, yours is an uncircumcised heart. It has never been broken. It has never yielded to conviction. It has never seen its sin. It has never lamented its guilt. It has never flown to Christ for the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb. It's a heart that has religion without redemption. It's a heart that is satisfied with forms and with ceremonies. It's a heart that's satisfied with church and with ordinances. It's a heart that goes through all the paraphernalia of religion, but it has nothing of an experience of conviction of sin, repentance of sin, cleansing from sin, and life in Jesus Christ. Now, God the Holy Spirit is the enemy of outward religion. God the Holy Spirit is opposed to a religion that is just a farce. He's opposed, as Stephen told these Jews, to people who think that they can bottle up God in a beautiful building or in a beautiful church ceremony. They can bottle up God and say, there he is. Now we, having paid our due respects to religion, we can go and live the way we like. The Holy Ghost is the inveterate foe of that. And I tell you, my friend, when you, in your pride, settle down into a religion of mere externals with an uncircumcised heart, you are resisting God the Holy Ghost. Sinners resist the Holy Ghost by their rejection of Christ as personal Savior. That again is seen in the uncircumcised heart. This is what Stephen has been hammering home to these Jewish leaders. They rejected the Just One. He had come to them in person. They rejected Christ. Paul could tell the Galatians that through the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth among them, crucified. That's what happens in the gospel. My friend, this is the solemnity of a gospel meeting. You don't merely come to sing or to hear others sing. You don't merely come to hear a sermon or criticize a preacher. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, he is personally, evidently set forth before you. And when sinners reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are resisting his Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is always to uplift Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is always pointing men toward Christ. Resisting the Holy Spirit is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Solemn sin. All sin is solemn. All sin is damning.
How can human tongue describe the arrogance of a man who has the Christ of God set forth before him and he dismisses him? How can human tongue describe the folly of a sinner within a heartbeat of hell who has God's dear Son, the only sacrifice for sin, presented to him, and he rejects him? What a sin. Sit under the sound of Christ crucified and throw away the call of mercy. Let me just narrow that down a little. Sinners reject and resist the Holy Ghost by their hardness to the preaching of the gospel. Oh, they reject Christ, but here's the reason. They have not only an uncircumcised heart, but uncircumcised ears. You think of that. An ear that has no time for the gospel. An ear that is not attuned to the gospel message. Now I want to be very forthright and very, very frank and very, very simple here. There are people, and I have no doubt there are people in our service this morning, and your ear can be attuned to many of the sounds of the world. When the world's music comes along, and I'm not singling out rock music, though it's the most hellish form of so-called entertainment in the music world that you can get. No time for it, and I believe the Bible is no time for it, but that's a different subject. I'm talking about even the things that are musically, culturally, socially, and even religiously acceptable. Your ear is attuned there, and it strikes a responsive chord in your heart. Your ear is attuned politically. You can listen to a politician. He promises you 2 cents off your tax bill. My, it strikes a responsive chord in your heart, and you're ready to vote for him. But when the gospel of the sovereign grace of the eternal God is preached, when the message that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, is preached in your hearing, my, you've an uncircumcised ear. All the flesh, all the filth of the world that has blocked up your ear and deafened you to the call of God has never been cut away. When you hear the gospel, it strikes no responsive chord at all within your soul. Hardness. There's one thing that concerns me about people who grew up in churches like the Free Church. It's that they get used to the gospel. They get used to the gospel. I see it in unsaved people. They get harder and harder against the gospel. Sometimes I see it in those who profess to be saved, and they just sit like blocks of stone, and the Bible means nothing to them anymore.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-2425. 1-866-244-2408. That's 1-866-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.